Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Turner Talks.
In thickness and in health with your co-host Bailey Turner.
And Zach Turner.
And in today's episode, we are going to just do a little catch-up episode where we catch you up to speed on what's been going on the past year, year and a half in our lives since we've been a little MIA. So without further ado, let's get started.
So we are finally feeling like we have a grasp on this whole parenthood situation, and we feel like we're finally get back in the swing of things. So we're going to try to make uploading podcasts a more regular thing by doing, hopefully to start, at least one a week, and we will be putting those out every Thursday at 5 a.m. Central Time. So please be patient with us as we try to get back into this.
Yes, I feel like we have a good excuse for being gone for so long, but we did want to catch you back up to speed on kind of what's been going on the past year, year and a half since we haven't done a podcast in so long, and kind of just talk about my pregnancy, my birth story, and then a little bit about, you know, work stuff and our challenges and whatnot. So if that interests you, stay tuned and keep listening. And I think we're going to start off with my pregnancy, which started about a year ago. Mm-hmm. So it's been, Marlo is about 4 months old now, and we found out that we were pregnant in February. A couple weeks later, I had a very early miscarriage, and then about a month after that, I found out I was pregnant with Marlo. So that was about early April. First trimester was pretty easy. I did have food aversions and exhaustion. Zach would have to run to the grocery store and pick up my food aversions, my cravings, because I had such big food aversions. And by the time you get home, I'd be like, no, that doesn't sound good anymore. Mm-hmm. That was probably the roughest part of first trimester. And then second trimester came around, the nausea and food aversions kind of went away, and I started getting my energy back. We did have our anatomy scan in July, and that brought on some anxiety because we found out at the 20-week anatomy scan that Marlo's, one of her kidneys was slightly enlarged. And so we, you know, of course, hearing anything is wrong with your baby, you automatically assume the worst. So we were told that we had to come back in a couple, I think like 10 weeks later, so around 30, 32 weeks for another scan just to see, you know, how everything was looking, because I guess most of the time it resolves in the third trimester before birth. So I think we went in at like 28, 30 weeks in September and found out that her kidney didn't resolve itself. It actually got a little bit worse, but they weren't super concerned about it. But they did want us to come back again for a 36-week growth scan and to see if the kidney resolved itself in the next 6 weeks. So in the meantime, we actually went to our pediatrician. You can talk about that and what he said about the whole situation.
Yeah, so Bailey and I, our
family practitioner
is the same doctor that sees Marlo. And it was late September that we went to see him for just like our yearly physical and like examination. And we brought it up because at this point we had known that it hadn't resolved itself. The issue hadn't resolved itself. So we brought it up to him, and he said, and he kind of like calmed me down big time. Not that I was like freaking out, but obviously, like Bailey said, you're going to be worried to a certain extent when you hear that something's wrong with your first baby, let alone baby at all. And like I said, he calmed our nerves. He said that he sees it, you know, not all the time, but he's seen it enough to know that in most instances, if it doesn't resolve in utero, it will almost certainly resolve itself after birth. And if it doesn't resolve itself after birth, it's a super non-invasive operation where they insert that catheter and they stent up the ureter, right?
Ureter, yep. So he definitely calmed our nerves when it came to that, but we still did have a 36-week scan. So at the 36-week scan, my blood pressure was a little elevated. I think it was like 130s over 90s-ish. And so they made me pee in the cup, and thankfully no other signs of preeclampsia, you know, came about. But I think I was just very anxious at that appointment because I didn't want to hear again that her kidney problem hadn't resolved. So then I went for my 37-week appointment. My blood pressure was still about the same. They weren't worried. They just had me monitor at home. And then 38 weeks rolled around. I had another appointment, and my blood pressure was like 139 over like 98. So it was starting to creep up. So they took blood sample, urine, my blood pressure like 4 times, and then told me to come back in on Thursday for another blood pressure check. So we came back in on Thursday, and my blood pressure was still high. I think it was like, again, 139 over like 100 this time. And they were like, okay, like we really do want to induce you today because we don't want this to get out of control. And so I didn't want anything bad to happen to my baby. And I feel like they kind of made it seem like, you know, something could have happened if I wouldn't have gotten induced. So I just kind of agreed to it, even though I was really upset about it. And Zach ran home, got our bags because we weren't obviously expecting to get induced that day. And he met me up in labor and delivery where I got admitted. And I got hooked up to the IV and everything, and they started the induction process. So I have a whole birth story blog on my blog, BaileyMarieTurner.com, if you're interested in reading about my entire birth story. I don't want to get into too much detail because I could probably talk about it for like an hour. But we ended up, you know, going through the induction. In short, I didn't progress the way I wanted to. I actually got to a 10, but when it came time for pushing, I pushed for 3 hours. Nothing happened. She wouldn't drop. She was just kind of stuck in my pelvis. So after going through such a long, you know, process, I just decided that I was exhausted. I wanted to meet my baby already. So we went ahead with the C-section. So that's how it ended. I'm glad that it happened the way it did. I feel like everything happens for a reason. And she did come out with a little bit of, like trauma from the birth. She had some bruising and scrapes from me, like pushing her against my pelvis for so long, because she was stuck. So I just know that that's probably the way it was supposed to happen. So wasn't the birth that I was manifesting for myself, but, you know, it happened for a reason. So that's all I can, you know, think about. So if you want to see or hear about the full birth story in detail, like I said, I'll link it in the podcast description in case you want to go read about it. But that was the birth story. We ended up, after having her, we were in the hospital for how many days?
Isn't like standard protocol like 48 hours for a C-section or something?
72, I think. 48 to 72. We
came home on a Sunday.
Yeah, because I was like, I want to go home. And they said I was healing fine enough to...
Yeah, it was like 48 hours after she was here. Because I remember we went home early Sunday morning and you had her
on Friday morning.
Friday morning.
Yeah. So Sunday morning was when we got her ultrasound done again, right? Mm-hmm. So basically we had to get another ultrasound done since it hadn't resolved at our 36-week appointment, her little kidney issue. And Zach, you can touch on that.
Yeah, so they, like Bailey said, it didn't resolve in utero. So what they wanted to do was do an ultrasound on her little kidney to see if, you know, a couple of days of her urinary like tract working on its own had resolved the fluid that she was retaining in that one kidney. And yeah, it was, I don't know, it was kind of weird seeing your little baby getting ultrasound like that. But she
did great. She didn't cry. Her little naked butt was just on the little bassinet, hospital bassinet. And of course the radiologist?
I don't think it was a radiologist. It was an ultrasound tech.
Ultrasound tech, yeah. She was like, I can't tell you anything, obviously, like they can't diagnose. So they sent all the imaging up to Salt Lake Children's Hospital, where a specialist...
pediatric nephrologist, yep. I think.
He looked at it and then gave the report to our pediatrician, which our pediatrician called us 2 days after her ultrasound and said, her kidneys are completely normal. It resolved itself. And I just remember, of course, being a hormonal mess postpartum, but I just remember crying and being so thankful that, you know, the issue had resolved and she didn't have to go through with that little surgery.
And then he said that he wants her to do another one at 6 months, I think, just to make sure that...
6 months to a year, just to make sure...
But she has big, full diapers, so hopefully it's...
Yeah, we're not too worried about it, but it is scary when you just hear that, you know, something potentially could be wrong with your baby. Your mind just automatically assumes the worst and you think, you know... And like you said, when we were talking about it before, you were saying how the MFM kind of has to look at all these different scenarios of like what else could be wrong with your baby. So he really scared us into thinking our baby had like a genetic disorder or something.
That was like the same one too, where like they did the growth scan and like they were like estimating that Marla was like already like 8 pounds at like 30, like what, 4 weeks or something?
Yeah. They said she was like 8 pounds six or 7 pounds at 34 weeks. And if I were to carry her to term, she'd be like 10 pounds. So then they diagnosed me. But the
margin of error is like a pound under that or a pound over. So it's not super accurate. So then he made it seem like, well, why is the baby heavy? Why is the kidney not like draining properly? So it makes you think that something is wrong with her. But, you know, looking back, you can look back and think like, okay, he has to deal with that because he deals with like the worst of the worst case scenarios. And granted, we didn't have like a super like high risk thing, but you understand where he's coming from. And I just wanted to touch on something else too, because I remembered it when we were talking to our pediatrician at our physicals at the end of September. When I asked him about it, like resolving after birth, he said that like a lot of this stuff is way more prevalent than people think, and it's not like a new thing, obviously, because like screening for it has improved, so they're picking up more of it, and it's really nothing to be scared of, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, my heart goes out to like all the high-risk pregnancies out there, because going to the level 2 scan was so scary, and you know, like they have to look at everything and it just makes you worry so much. So
they do everything that they did at the first like anatomy scan.
Yeah, they look at everything. They're
gonna find something that they didn't find at the first one. And
well, yeah, and they sit you down and he's like, "Well, there is 3 things I want to talk about." And we're like, "Okay, what else did you find?" You know, it's just really scary because they're a little bit more thorough at that appointment than they are during the basic anatomy scan. So definitely very anxiety inducing.
Healthy little baby.
Yes, she's perfectly healthy, thank goodness. And if you do have, you know, if any of you guys experience this or know of somebody that is going through this right now and you want to send them our information so that they can get in touch with us and we can provide them, you know, with our experience with, it's called fetal pyelectasis. So basically it's just an accumulation of fluid in one or both of the kidneys. And like I said, our pediatrician told us usually it resolves during utero or at the end of utero or shortly after birth. So usually it's not anything to be concerned about. And if it doesn't resolve, it's still not a huge deal. So we'd love to provide some hope and feedback and, you know, just advice based on our experience with it. Because
I feel like people on your, like your followers, like your Instagram followers were very helpful in that.
Yeah, because I remember posting about it and I got a ton of messages from people saying they either knew of someone that went through this or they went through it themselves. So
with their baby.
Yeah, it was just very, very, I don't know, reassuring to hear that. And when you're going through that, it's just nice to hear from other people that have been in the same experiences. Well, it's
nice. The same thing with, like, it goes with anything. Like, you want to know that you're not alone in your struggle.
Exactly. So we're here for you if you're going through anything similar. It's not easy when it's your baby. You'd do anything, you know, just to have a healthy baby. So thankfully, like I said, it resolved. Everything is great. She's healthy, which is the best blessing that we could have ever asked for. And now we'll just touch on, you know, postpartum quick and how we've been adjusting. I would say the first couple weeks were definitely the hardest on us.
Yeah. Well, obviously, just because... One, you're recovering from a major surgery after your C-section, and two, we're combating the lack of sleep with the completely new adjustment. Like, you're responsible for another human being now, so it's just a major shock to your entire world. Yeah. But, like with anything else, like, you quickly adapt, you understand, like, okay, this is, like, our new reality. Like, this is what we have
but
to do.
But in the
this
moment, like, the first couple
weeks...
Well,
yeah, you think, like, it's never going to end. You like, think that your struggle is inevitable and, like, forever is something you have to endure, so...
Yeah, it's rough hormonally postpartum on me, but then also it's, like, you know, equally as challenging for Zach, because I remember, you know, in the middle of the night when we're both not sleeping much, we have to, you know, cater to her needs and wake up with her every couple hours. And, you know, Zach's trying to take care of me. I'm trying to take care of the baby and doing breastfeeding and all of the new challenges that were, you know, just being thrown, you know, that are just being thrown our way. And I remember in the middle of the night, Zach's like, one's good. Like, we don't need any more. One is good.
Well, that was kind of like how I felt in the hospital, because I'm sleeping in the most uncomfortable chair, the most uncomfortable bed. And yeah, it was rough. It's like, this is my new reality. Just
yeah, never Zach sleeping was like, and Zach was like, yeah, we're not doing this again. This sucks. And
well, I remember we used to get like mad at people, like not mad, but like kind of annoyed at people, like, get your sleep now, like before Marla was born. Yeah. It's like, gosh, they were so right. Like,
yeah.
And granted, she's sleeping much better now and I feel like more normal, but like still you'd be like, that's what you gotta say about like us becoming parents. It's like, no, get your sleep, because you're seriously going to like not get a full night's sleep for a while.
For a while, yeah, for sure. That is really rough. It's especially when I was like trying to heal, just waking up every, you know, 2 to 3 hours to breastfeed. That was so hard, and your nipples are raw, you're bleeding everywhere. Like, rough. Rough times for sure. But we got through it. I feel like I healed up pretty well. I feel like getting outside and going on little walks helped me out a lot mentally and physically. Zach would always make sure my water was full. I feel like we could do a whole nother episode on, you know, how your partner can support you during that time, because I feel like we do get asked that, you know, like how can you as a partner be a better, you know, spouse and help out when your woman is postpartum, because it's just rough, like, well, all
if
around.
You're a, if you're a father-to-be listening in the background to this in the car, or as your wife is listening to this, just know that whatever you do, it's never going to be enough. You're always going to be wrong still. Just prepare to be a punching bag for the rest of your life.
Knock it off. You are crazy. No, the first... It was rough.
It definitely... It put strain on a marriage and your relationship, just because, you know, you're not going to have as much one-on-one time or devoted time. And Bailey and I had to talk about this last night, actually. It's hard, mm-hmm. but
definitely
so worth it, I think, in the end.
I feel like that's something that I wasn't prepared for, and I don't think you were either, is because we were like, we have a strong marriage. We have a healthy relationship, like... We're like, we're a really great team. I mean, we work together. We're constantly with each other. So we're like, how hard could it be, like, you know, to throw a baby into the mix? It's hard. It's really hard. And the first month, I would say the first 6 weeks is the hardest, because obviously they're the most needy during that time. And they're still waking up a lot. And, you know, with the breastfeeding, establishing a good breastfeeding connection and figuring that all out is a whole job in itself. And then, you know, Zach's trying to run the house and do everything else with our business and do all the things while I'm trying to heal. And it's a lot. And I have like the utmost respect for stay-at-home moms, because I at least have your help during the day. Like, mm-hmm. we work from home. Like, we are very blessed in that. And, you know, we can't thank you guys enough for supporting us and letting us do, you know, what we love to do every single day. But stay-at-home moms that, you know, have husbands that go to jobs and get out of the house every single day, and they're home alone with this new baby, that is tough. Like, I have so much respect for them. And I know people always say, like, oh, that's not a job. That is 110% a job.
Yeah.
Like, so hard. I feel like a lot of people that even go to jobs, that, like, even if your job is so hard, being a stay-at-home mom is so, so, so challenging. Well,
there was an older, not to, like, go on a tangent here, but there was an older gentleman here in St. George that Bailey and I crossed paths with, and... They had, like, I don't know how many kids they had, like, quite a few. Like,
I think, like,
six or seven,
yeah.
And he told his wife to go see, you know, one of her relatives somewhere in a different state for, like, a long weekend. And he's a business owner, so he obviously has a lot on his plate to begin with the business. But she goes away, and he said that he took away from her being gone that... No matter how hard things got with his business, he said, and his, like, work duties, what she did at home on the day-to-day after spending, you know, days alone with the kids was infinitely harder than what he did with the business. And we have one kid, and yeah. I couldn't imagine, you know, trying to run a household with six or seven kids.
Oh, my goodness. Like, literal rock stars, yeah. For sure. Like, it's amazing. So props to all of my stay-at-home moms out there. Props to all my working moms out there. Props to all the moms out there, because being a mom is the most challenging yet the most rewarding job that I've ever done. And I know that a lot of people said that to me when I was pregnant, like, you're gonna love it, but it is so hard. And you guys were so right. I love it, but there are really, really tough days. And I feel like as you're going through the postpartum period too, it's even harder because your hormones are just like literally all over the place, especially those first few weeks. I remember I would just go in the shower and get alone time and I'd just cry. And I'm like, why am I even crying? I have no idea. Zach, even like, I feel like the first couple days was just like with her, you would just stare at her and just cry. And like, you cried more than me the first couple days, but then it hit me like a few days after, like my milk came in and the pain started to set in.
Well, I feel like we were crying for different reasons. I was crying because she was like happy she was here, and you were crying because your nipples hurt.
My milk came in. I convinced myself I had mastitis because I had no idea that my boobs would get that rock hard. And like, oh my God, it was rough. And then it was just, whew, I'm just glad we're in a place now that we can breathe again. I feel like we're at a place where we can eat dinner at night together. We can chill on the couch together and not have to worry about, you know, rocking her to sleep or making or thinking that she's going to wake up every 10, 20 minutes. So it does get easier if you're in the thick of it right now with the fresh newborn. I promise you it will get easier. I know that it's really hard to think about all the things that you're doing right now and think that it's just never going to end. But I would say by month 2, 3, you'll start getting the hang of it and it gets a lot easier. And your baby also starts to smile and do fun things and it's great. So that is pretty much it for postpartum and how we're doing now. I feel like Zach said, we're getting to a much better swing of things. That's why we're starting to bring back the podcast. And we've been doing our challenges, which, do you want to touch on those, Zach?
Yeah, so right now we're currently at the halfway point in week 5, which is officially the second. Week 5 is officially the second half of our 8-week spring challenge that we're doing right now. The last two challenges have been really awesome in terms of just like
engagement.
Yeah, the Facebook community is huge. It's like our largest like Facebook group ever. And there's just like a lot of encouragement going on inside the group. So if you're on the fence about ever joining one of our challenges, I would do it just for the community alone. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's such a strong community. And obviously that's like if you see other people doing well and winning, like you're either going to be happy for them and want to do it, or you're just a hater and a Debbie Downer regardless of what other people are doing. And no matter what, you're always going to be like that, maybe.
But. Exactly. And I cannot count how many times
But people, if you'd love to see other people win, definitely get on our next one, which starts in May.
I can't count, though, how many people in our groups have been like, I don't usually participate in the Facebook groups, but this group is so supportive and so encouraging. Like, they feel empowered to post in the group and share their wins and share, you know, like, their struggles even, you know, they get vulnerable and share, you know, what they're struggling with so that our community can help support them. And we're always there to support you guys and help out in any way that we can. But there's just something about having other people that are kind of like at the same place in their journey, also going through maybe this similar struggles that you're facing, and hearing from them and just having that support and encouragement from other women. I'm a little biased, but I do think it's the best community out there. We have such amazing women. And
well, I think from a value standpoint, especially, like,
oh, 100%.
I feel like they're fairly affordable, and I feel like the training itself is well thought out, and we put a lot of time into that and effort, and it's not just 3x10 slapped across the board.
We don't have you doing, you know, 3x10 for everything and these crazy Instagram workouts. Like, what we are putting you through is like a thorough plan and program to implement progressive overload. And we choose exercises that we know are going to help you see progress and are going to challenge you. They're not going to just look cool. Yeah. So,
well, any numbskull can make you tired and exhausted, but that's only sustainable for so long before you inevitably run into a wall. So,
yeah, exactly. So our next challenge is actually going to be starting in May, And we're just going to start doing them back to back because a lot of the feedback that we've received from our returner clients have been, hey, we just want to keep this going. Like, let's go from one challenge right into the next so that we don't need to have like this break of like, okay, what do we do
in the week or 2 weeks? Which I thought people wanted, maybe that, like that little break and like...
Yeah, like a week or 2 week off. But they're like, no, we want to just keep going because it holds them accountable. It gives them a plan to follow. Like when you have a plan and you have it in this app that tells you exactly what to do on each day, and then you have a community behind you that supports you, it makes it much easier to stick to that plan. So like I said, our next challenge starts in May. All of the details will be on my Instagram. So just stay tuned for that. My Instagram is BodyFitBalance. If you are new here, we'd love to have you join. And we're always available if you have any questions. My email is bailey@bodyfitbalance.com. Zach's is zach@bodyfitbalance.com with an H and not a K. And yeah, we take a lot of pride in the value that we offer in our challenges. They're roughly $30 to $35, depending on if you're a returner or if you're a newbie. And I would say like 70 to 80% of our client base is returners because they do one and they're like, I love it. I want to stick with it. And then they return for the next one. We've had people that have been with us for years doing our challenges. We've been more consistent at doing the challenges since this past August. And since then we've done like 5 or 6 challenges and we've had people stick with them for every single one. And we give a $5 returner discount every single time. So yeah, we love them. People have seen great progress on them, doing them. And like we said, the community is the best part of it all. So we'd love to have you join. Just stay tuned for more details on the next challenge, which will be in May. And yeah, we're going to, the next episode that we do, we're going to do a Q&A. I asked on my Instagram for you guys to send us some questions regarding, you know, life, fitness, marriage, parenthood, all the things. And we're also going to be posting a thing on our podcast Instagram. So if you have any other questions that you want to ask us before the next podcast comes out in next week, then leave them on that post and we'll pick a couple winners to win like a Starbucks gift card or something fun just for, you know, engaging with us and helping us come up with questions for the next episode. So
that will conclude today's episode.
Short and sweet, just the way we like it. We are excited to get back into things and be consistent with this, and we can't thank you guys enough for your support and for listening today. So thank you, and we will see you next week.